Welcome to the Middle East Report Special Edition, and I'm John Riley. Each week, I help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. Security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, those are just a few of the things that we cover. And the main purpose of the Middle East Report is to encourage you to read, study, and apply the Word of God in your life. The best way to do that, I believe, is to connect to the people, places, and geography of what we read in the Bible, and we are going to do that today because I'm broadcasting from the capital of Israel, Jerusalem, and not just from the capital. I'm actually at the seat of government in Israel, the Knesset, where so much history is underneath this building. And I am here as an invited guest, and I've been wanting to interview this guy for a long, long time. Ohad Tal, he is a member of the Israeli Knesset and the current Israeli government coalition. He has degrees in educational business administration, public policy, and government. He served as an IDF tank commander. He's a member of the Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee here at the Knesset and this coalition. It is so amazing to be here in your office to speak with you during this very, very difficult time here in Israel. Welcome.
Shalom, John. Thank you very much for having me. It's such a great pleasure and privilege.
Thank you for all that you do. And October 7th forever changed the state of Israel. You know, when we think about that October 7th massacre, we're going to talk about a lot of things here during our time together, but I want to just get into your heart just a little bit about your family, your thoughts about that day, October 7th, and what was going through your heart during that time?
Well, that was a very hard and unbelievable day, because I can tell you, you know, I woke up in the morning, I went to pray in my synagogue, I heard like all kind of booms behind me when I went to pray. I didn't realize what is even happening until a rocket dropped about 200 meters from where I was. So I ran directly back home to see that my kids are okay, that my wife is okay. And I started to get all the news about what is happening down south. Now, my parents live in Sderot. So, you know, just imagining a brigade of people coming with shotguns into Sderot, shooting people on the streets. And you know, we started to see the images coming of bodies just piles of bodies on the streets of Sderot and Ofakim and all the villages and the kibbutzim. It's something, you know, you could not even, it was unbelievable, unimaginable. And of course, it was very concerning and heartbreaking. And as much as we got more information and we realized how brutal that attack was, you know, but it's something really, really, I mean, nobody could even imagine such a thing would even happen.
It is a tragic day in the history of Israel. And when we think about the days now that we are in, how do you see the citizens of Israel doing? Because you not only have this war going on in Gaza, you have something going on in Judea and Samaria with armed terrorists that are once again trying to eliminate the state of Israel. You have things going on in the north of Israel. You have people, again, that are surrounding Israel and trying to eliminate the Jewish state. How do you see the Israeli people doing now?
I think what happened to us after October 7th is that, at least I think for most people, is that we woke up. We woke up to realize what is the reality. Because for so many years, for 30 years or so, we're doing everything we can in order to achieve peace. And we thought, we wanted to believe that, you know, like every Western people, you know, we think that what motivates us is what motivates other people. We think that if we, what we care about the most is to have a better future for our kids, right? Every average person in a Western civilization, he wants a better future for his kids. He wants his kids to go to have a better education, to have a decent job. This is what we want. And we wanted to believe that this is what they want as well. So we were willing, even though, you know, Israel is a country the size of New Jersey, for 30 years, we were willing to make massive concessions, even giving parts of our land to the Palestinians in the hope that that will bring peace. We did everything we can to improve their economy. We thought that because if we will improve their economy, maybe they wouldn't want to destroy us anymore. But I think October 7th got us realize that they're not operating on with the same program as we are. They're thinking very differently about life. You know, I speak with so many soldiers who are coming back from Gaza and telling me what Golda Meir said in the 70s, that unfortunately, they hate us more than they love their children. That's the reality. And we have to realize that this is the reality. As much as we want to change that, this is the reality. You know, we, in 2005, we withdraw from the Gaza Strip completely. We gave it all to the Palestinians. Billions of dollars were invested in Gaza. They could make it to the Singapore of the Middle East. They chose not to do that. They chose to invest all this money in missiles and underground terror tunnels. This is what they tried. They made Gaza to the biggest terror nest of the world. So on October 7th, they came and they shot little babies in their beds. They raped women. They butchered the whole families. People who did nothing to them. You know, the people who lived in those kibbutzim were the biggest supporters of peace. They were the people who advocated for peace the most. If you go down south, you'll see the villages, you'll see the kibbutzim, you'll see that on all of these burned houses, you'll see flags with Shalom Achshav, which means peace now. These people took Palestinians to Israeli hospitals because they wanted to take care of them. But they were butchered by the same people. So we have to wake up.
And yet, there are governments, including the United States, that are calling for a two-state solution, saying, well, that's going to be in the best interest of Israel to have a two-state solution. And what I hear you saying is, it's not in the best interest of Israel. Where has the two-state solution or that idea gotten Israel?
So, you know, I will tell you a story. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Washington, D.C. I met with the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, which, by the way, is a great, great, great guy. Really unbelievable. But also, I met a lot of members of Congress, but also met the spokesman of the White House, Admiral John Kirby. And he gave a whole explanation about how the two-state solution is good for Israel. Very sophisticated explanation. At the end of his explanation, I told him, you know, I must tell you something. You know, in the Middle East, we are very simple. We are not as sophisticated as you are. In the Middle East, the second you are weak, everybody wants to come and grab a bite. It's as simple as that. And after October 7th, even just talking about a two-state solution, just talking, not even promoting this idea, sends a very simple message. The only message it sends is that the path of terror, this is the right path to go. That's it. And you know who will pay the bill for that? Not just Israel. Everybody will pay. You will pay the bill for that because you're telling radical Islam all over the world that if you want to achieve your goals, use terror. This is what you're telling them. And you will meet them. You will meet them in your backyard. Is this really what America needs? Is this, America is always talking about the need for stability. Do you really think that after what we've seen in October 7th, do you think that a Palestinian state at the heart of Israel, I'm not just talking that it's not moral, but in the most practical way of thinking, do you think that establishing another Palestinian state, because it will be another, because they have a Palestinian state in Gaza, by the way, they also have a Palestinian state in Jordan, 70% of the population in Jordan is Palestinian, so you want to build the third Palestinian state in Judea and Samaria, which is the cradle of Jewish existence, so you want to build a Palestinian state just few miles from Tel Aviv, from Jerusalem, from Ben Gurion Airport. Do you think that will contribute more to stability, for peace and prosperity? I mean, October 7th proved that this is a wrong way to go. So, you want to bang your head in the wall? So we are telling to our friends in America, no, it's not going to work. It's going to do exactly the opposite of what you're saying you want to achieve. And again, we will not be the only one to pay the price. You will be the people to pay the price because, as they say themselves, the Muslims, they're saying, we are just a little Satan. They call you the big Satan. Their goal is to pursue you. This, look at what is happening now in Europe. What is happening in so many capitals of Europe? The refugees, Muslim refugees coming to Europe, telling them to their face, you are the Christians, you are our slaves. We want to apply the Sharia rules here in your countries. This is what we're going to do. So I think not just Israel has to wake up. The entire Western civilization has to wake up, realize the threat, because this is what it is. It's a threat on our very existence, and we have to work together to fight back.
Those of you who are listening today, we're talking to a member of the Israeli Knesset, Mr. Ohad Tal, and he is a great friend of Christians. He's a great friend of the United States, and we're talking about this idea of a so-called two-state solution, which it is not. Recently, there was a survey in Judea and Samaria, it may have just been in Samaria, of Arabs who had a choice in whether or not they supported what Hamas did to the Jewish people. And yet, I think it was like 80% of them said, well, we support what Hamas did.
84% support Hamas. 72% justify the massacre of October 7th. Are these the people you think are going to contribute to stability? Are these the people you wanna make peace with? I mean, we can keep fooling ourselves, but it's not gonna contribute not to peace and not to stability. And you know, you said I'm a good friend to the with the Christians, and I will tell you why. I'll tell you why. I believe that the greatest challenge we have today is all about identity. And today in the world, in this generation that we live in, I think that the greatest forces who are trying to fight us are forces who are trying to take us away from our identity. They're trying to destroy our personal identity. They're trying to tell us that you can be whatever you want. You can be a man, woman, you can be a cat, you can be whatever you want. As long as you will define yourself as something, this is what you are. They want to destroy our religious identity. They take us away from that. They want to destroy our family values, our religious values, our national values, all these things. Now, this is what is happening in Western civilization. Radical Islam, by the way, they understand that. They're also attacking Western civilization because they see this weakness, this weak spot that Western civilization is in. So what I think is that, and as much as you have it in America, and the people of Europe has that in their countries, we also suffering from that here in Israel. If we will not work together, if we will not understand that we're fighting for the right to maintain our identity, to be who we are, to be proud of our families, to be proud of our religious values, to be proud of our national values, to be patriots. This is what we want to be. This is who we are. And we are fighting for that. And our ability to succeed is if we will join forces, if we will work together to defeat these forces, to fight both radical Islam and radical, I don't know how I would call that, radical liberalism, which I wouldn't even call that liberalism, because it's the opposite of that, but we have to fight together.
It really is a battle between good and evil. I know I've heard you say that over and over, and it really is. It's a battle against biblical values that we share together, and you have radical Islam that wants to destroy those biblical values, and it is tragic, and we do need to take a stand. I want to thank you for taking that stand. We are broadcasting from the Israeli Knesset in the heart of Jerusalem and talking to a member of the Israeli coalition, member of the Israeli Knesset, Ohad Tal, and just a wonderful man who has so many great things to say. I have to ask you about some of the things currently going on in the United States right now, and obviously that has to do with the relationship with the United States. And I will say that as an American, I have never seen the USA relations to be at such an all-time low. You've got the Biden administration attempts to, in my opinion, try to topple the current coalition. You've got the United States saying, well, if you don't do what we say you should do, we're not going to give you weapons. You have the United States, and really it was U.S. opposition with this U.N. resolution that recently passed here that says there should be a ceasefire, or there has to be a ceasefire in Gaza before you completely remove Hamas. How do you feel about these relationships between Israel and the United States right now?
You know, I saw that Mike Pence called the decision of the administration not to veto the UN Security Council resolution a disgrace, and I fully agree with him. It's a disgrace. I mean, what does it mean to call for a ceasefire now in Gaza? It basically means that we don't have the right to defend ourselves. This is what it means. It's as simple as that. You can wrap it with so many beautiful words, but this is what it means. Again, we didn't initiate the October 7th war. We didn't initiate that. We did everything we can to achieve peace. We did everything we can to improve their economy and to take care of their health system and whatever we can do to improve their lives. We only got terror as a return. So we are now fighting in order to make sure that they'll not be able to butcher us again. That's it. I mean, currently they're holding 136 hostages in their hands. So what? We should just forget about them? We should say, well, it's not happening. We should withdraw again and allow them to rearm and to strike us back again? This is what we have to do, not to complete the mission, not to eradicate Hamas. This is really what America, this is what Biden, the administration, is now pushing us to do. Does that make any sense to anybody? Would you be willing, after you've been butchered, 1,200 people were butchered by Hamas, would you be willing to accept that and not fight back? Of course not. So we are telling to our friends in America, just as much as you would not accept that. I mean, after 9/11, would you be willing to accept somebody telling you you have to cease fire with Al-Qaeda, don't fight with Al-Qaeda? I mean, it's an absurd, it's ridiculous. And let's not fool ourselves. Those who are supporting that are anti-Semite. This is what they want their Jews to be butchered. This is what they want to see. This is how they want to see us. Look, who's supporting this resolution? China, Iran, Russia, of course, Hamas. They're supporting this resolution. So now the Biden administration is aligning with them. Does that make sense to anybody?
Makes absolutely no sense that the United States would be aligning with them whatsoever. We should be aligning 100% and totally with what Israel is going to do and is trying to accomplish in Gaza by completely removing Hamas. I didn't see anything in that UN resolution that said Hamas should surrender. Was there anything in the resolution about that?
No. There was not. Not only that, until today, there was nothing to condemn Hamas by the UN. Nothing. As if they're not exist. Not only that, they try, and also the Biden administration tried to speak about settlers' violence as if, I mean, like, which is again trying to rewrite the history, to fabricate a reality. Crazy to try to put in balance Hamas and the Jews. That's craziness. Besides the fact that it's a complete lie. I mean, just the thinking of trying to balance what Hamas did and what we are doing, just as much as the President Biden said that he's not willing to accept another 30,000 Palestinians dead. Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? It's only by the hands of Hamas. That's the reality. The second Hamas will lay down their arms and will send back the hostages, that second the war will end. And we're doing everything we can. Israel is doing everything we can in order to differentiate Hamas and the civic population in Gaza. Everything. I mean, we designated safe zones for the Palestinians to go to. And you know who were shooting them, preventing them from getting into these safe zones? Hamas. They were shooting them. Our soldiers were protecting the civilians of Gaza that will allow them to go to these safe zones. And Hamas people were shooting them to their heads. So enough with this hypocrisy. I'm calling to the Biden administration to realize the reality. Stand on the right side of history. don't choose to stand on the wrong side.
I don't think you are surprised at all by this UN resolution, because Israel is constantly being attacked by the untruthful, biased United Nations against Jews. You guys have gotten so many anti-Israel resolutions from the United Nations. We could spend the rest of the program talking about that. But I thank you for your service and what you are doing here at the Israeli Knesset. In the final moments that we have here, you know, we've been talking about some difficult things. I want you to talk about, you know, the land of Israel. You know, we have people who are listening right now, and they love the Jewish people. They love the land of Israel. So just take maybe just a few moments to answer the question, whose land is this? Whose land does Israel belong to?
You know, you spoke about archaeology before. And I want to tell you, you know, I have a special coin I'm always carrying with me. It's a silver coin, 2,000 years old, with ancient Hebrew letters saying, Holy Jerusalem, Yerushalayim HaKdosha, in Hebrew, Hebrew letters, Yerushalayim HaKdosha, which means Holy Jerusalem. Now, this coin was found in Temple Mount, and it's 2,000 years old. We know because we have the date when this coin was stamped, and it was stamped 2 years before the destruction of the Second Temple. What does it mean? It means that we came back to our homeland. We came back to Jerusalem after 2,000 years. We are the indigenous people of this country. We are the only nation who had sovereignty in this country 2,000 years ago and 3,000 years ago by King David. When people talking about what they call the West Bank, which, you know, it's just trying to rewrite history, but because the name of this place is Judea and Samaria. This is the place where all the stories of the Bible happen. And the Jewish people came back to its homeland. This is what happened. We came back after 2,000 years of exile, just like the Bible said that will happen. I mean, we are now living in a generation that we can just open our eyes and we see the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Bible. This is what we came here to do. We came, and you know, we didn't just came back to our homeland just for our own sake. We came back for the sake of humanity. Because the vision of the Jewish people is not just to take care of itself. No, the vision is to take care of humanity. As Isaiah said, that at the end of all days, the temple of God will be firmly established at the peak of the mountains, and all nations shall stream to it. For my house shall be a house of prayers for all nations. That's the vision. This is what we came here to do after 2,000 years. And I hope that our friends in the world will stand in with us to make sure that this vision will come true.
How can people who love the Jewish people and are so appreciative of what you're saying about the land of Israel, how can they practically stand with the Jewish people in the land of Israel during, I think, one of the most darkest times in its history? I mean, there have been many, many, but this is certainly up there in one of the most darkest times.
First of all, come here. As many people as will come here to see what is actually happening. Don't believe the media. Don't believe what they're telling you. Don't believe these stories. Don't believe their lies, because this is what they're doing. They're only spreading lies. Come and see what is actually happening. Come and visit Shiloh. Come to Hebron, to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem. Come to see what is happening in all these places. Come and see the reality for yourselves with your own eyes. And then go back to your home and spread the news. Tell what people what you saw. Tell the people the truth of what is actually happening here. This is one thing. And second, stand up to your government. Tell your government that you are not approve of what of their policies. Tell them and go to your elected officials and give them the power to stand for the truth. This is what I think we need to get from you now. And again, by doing that, you're not just helping us. You're helping yourself, because you're protecting America by doing that, not just us. You're protecting America, because America is, make no mistake, is under the same attack by the same forces, and we have to fight back.
As you're listening to this broadcast today from the heart of Israel, from the capital of Israel, Jerusalem, we're talking to a member of the Israeli Knesset, MK Tal, and it's just a joy to be here in your office. in this historic building where so many things have happened here, decisions that have been made in this building, and you've shared so many important things for people to understand that this is a battle against good and evil, that it's not just a battle for Israel, it's a battle for the United States, and anybody who loves morality, anybody who loves good and hates evil, this is a battle for everybody.
Exactly.
And I want to just encourage everybody to pray for you. You are bold. I will say that as a member of the Israeli Knesset, you get a lot of things thrown at you because of your stands here in the Knesset. But thank you for what you do and being so bold and in what you do. We're just so grateful that you're here and you're proclaiming the truth here in the Israeli Knesset.
I'm only bold because I know who I'm serving. I'm not serving myself. I'm serving God. This is why I'm here. This is what we're trying to do. We are serving God. This is what the Jewish people is trying to do, and this is what I'm trying to do. And as long as I know that I'm honest with myself, knowing who I'm serving, that's the only thing I care about.
That is so inspiring to hear you say that, because that should be what guides every single person who's listening today, that what we do should be guided not by what we want, but why God wants. That's how we should guide our lives. Again, thank you so much for inviting me into your office. I know it's a busy, busy time for you. You have so many things going on. There's a war going on so many different fronts. We didn't even talk about what's going on up north. We could talk a whole lot about that, but I want to encourage you to please pray for this member of the Israeli Knesset, Ohad Tal, and pray for all of Israel. Pray for total and complete victory in Gaza and in the north and all other enemies that surround Israel. And I want to thank you again for joining me today.
Of course, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
I want to encourage you again to pray for Ohad Tal. He is bold and he is truthful. His message resonates with all of us who believe the Word of God, the Bible, and understand that what's happening here in Israel is a battle against good and evil, against light and darkness. Please contact your senator and your congressman to let them know that you want them to stand with Israel and to reject the woke policies of the Biden administration and its efforts to slow down or even stop Israel from completely removing Hamas from Gaza. When it comes to Israel, the Biden administration says one thing, but does a completely different thing when it comes to its support of Israel. And as I wrap up this week's show and my time here in Israel, it's been such a precious time meeting Israelis from all walks of life that face a difficult future with the threat of war all around them. But in the midst of that, I also found a lot of hope among families as they live their life in the face of circumstances that none of us in the United States can even imagine. Thank you for listening to the Middle East Report. I want to encourage you to download a podcast of the show. You can do that on all the major podcast platforms. So download the podcast, make sure that you follow me, and you can also go to afr.net, and you can download the podcast there. Click on the podcast tab and search for The Middle East Report. I'm John Riley. Thanks for listening.